Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us, please check out our website at www.hisloveministries.net. Thank you.
He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith and do His blessed will.
So, amen. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. As you say, He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do His blessed will. Amen. Let's get started back this morning in the book of Ruth. And all the way back in the Old Testament, some of us, sometimes it's kind of harder to find those books. But remember, we've been talking about the book of Ruth last week. We started it and we looked at the first five verses. And kind of one of the themes of the book of Ruth, remember we talked about last week, one of the things that is God uses people who trust Him and commit themselves to Him to be a blessing to others. That's what he says there. He says, "While I live by faith and do His blessed will." You know, Boaz and David, they didn't probably live to see how great David was and much less Jesus Christ, but God used Ruth and Boaz as people that could produce a David. And you know, today we're kind of results conscious. We like instant results, don't we? All we got to do is look at everything we want it now, and you know, we got instant food and instant grits and instant this and instant that, and it's all right now. Got to have it now. You get a credit card, you go buy it now and pay for it later, right? That we don't always see the fruit of what we do this side of heaven. But one day when we get to heaven and it's all said and done, we'll see the fruit. Paul said to judge nothing before the time, because we don't know what's going to happen one day. A guy named G. Campbell Morgan, some of y'all probably know him, a great preacher in the past, said, "You may be God's foothold of things of which you cannot dream." That's great. So, second, God blesses people who trust Him and commit themselves to Him. And we're just talking about the themes of the book, that Ruth and Boaz were not only a blessing to others, but God blessed them. They received that rest from God. God's blessing to Ruth came in the form of food, a family, and security. Boaz also was blessed, and he also got more land in the promised land. Plus, he got a good, godly wife. And so God will reward our faith. Third, circumstances don't make or break a believer. You know, that circumstances are what happens to us every single day, right? But if we trust God and we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, yeah, we might stumble, we might trip a little bit, but what keeps us going is that faith in Jesus Christ, right? We need to remember that Ruth, she was a poor Moabitess and extremely vulnerable, yet she overcame her temptations by faith. Circumstances don't always determine what's going to happen, right? I remember the old saying, it's always darkest before the dawn. And sometimes that's the way it is. You know, when we think things are the worst, that's when God's doing His best work in our life. When we keep a close, intimate relationship with God, then we can become overcomers like Boaz and Ruth and follow Him faithfully. The pivotal chapter in this whole book is in chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And where it talks about that rest, that there's a rest. And you know, that's what God wants to give us, right? Matthew 11, He says, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we're weary and heavy laden, we come to Him, we lay our burdens down. He says, cast all our burdens on Him because He cares for us. And the key verse in this section is the part where Naomi talks about how she's unable to conceive. And so remember in the first five verses we talked about that in the days of the judges, there was a man, certain man in Bethlehem who went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons, and the man's name was Elimelech. And his name meant God is king, right? And his family named him that, hoping he would realize that God was knowable and that God was one who could control his life if he would allow him to. He goes and he thinks because there's a famine in the land, Bethlehem's called the house of bread, that they leave there and they think by going to Moabites, going to the country of Moab, that they're going to be blessed. But you know what? They go out of the will of God because they leave the blessing, the place of God's blessing, which is Israel. They break the covenant of God and they leave the country and they actually get in worse trouble. And basically, I think what happens is God disciplines them. You know, not Hebrews, but 1 Corinthians 11 talks about that if we would judge ourselves, God would not have to judge us, right? Sometimes that we're sick and we're weak, and some people even die because they won't do the right things for God, and God has to bring discipline. They go over there, and in this case, God brings death to the father and the two sons, and Naomi's left with two daughters. In law that are Moabite women, so they dwelt there 10 years, right? So after the husband dies, basically what happens is she allows her sons to marry those Moabite women. That's the way it looks, because it says her husband died, she was left and her two sons, and then it says now they took wives of the Moabites. I guess she was thinking somehow that the place of blessing was Moab, and the way she was going to get security was by having some daughter-in-laws and having a family that would take care of her. All right, well, let's get to verse 6 today. It says in chapter 1 of Ruth, verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Let's stop right there for right this minute. So today we want to see three testimonies. I don't know how far we'll get, but the first testimony we want to see is that of Naomi. You know, Naomi, she's a believer in God. She believes in Jesus Christ to come. She's an Old Testament believer. But you know what? She's a backsliding believer. She's kind of a Moabite at heart. She doesn't trust in God. She doesn't believe in God. And she doesn't act in faith. We already seen how after her husband died, what does she do? She allowed the two sons to marry some Moabite women, right? And that was strictly forbidden by God because of the fact that God did not want the Israelites to mix with other people, because they were to be a picture of the church, because the Bible tells us to come out from among them and be separate, right? She arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return to the country because she heard that the Lord had visited his people. So she's out of fellowship with God. She's missing God's best. They went down to Moab. They ended up, instead of staying just a little while, they ended up staying there 10 days. I mean, not 10 days, 10 years. And they're experiencing the consequences of their disobedience. So she hears that the Lord has visited his people and brought bread. And you know, the sad thing about it is, we'll see as we go on, that it looks like the people in Bethlehem did way better than they did when they left the country. That they're the only people we know that left during this time. There might have been other people, but God doesn't bring that up. But guess what? They leave and it causes bad problems. And so she had heard and they were going to return. Now that word return, it says that she might return from the country. Now she's returning. you know, God wants us to return to Him, right? And now she hasn't fully returned to God because, but what she do is she's going back to the country where there's a blessing, and she's going back because she hears what? That there's bread, why? And what's she looking for? She's looking for security. She's looking for food. She's looking for the ability to live and go back to the country where she's at. I don't think this is a picture. A lot of times the Bible talks about returning, and sometimes that's a picture of our repentance. But I don't think quite yet she's repented of her sin, and we don't really see that she does. Maybe later in the book she does. But right this minute, she's just kind of returning because guess what? It's convenient and there's food over there, right? That word return is seven in this section of chapter 1, verse 6 through 21. It's in there seven times. Talking about returning to God, returning to God, returning to God. And it's a key word in the whole book of Ruth. When she talks about this visiting, that the Lord had visited his people. You know, in the Old Testament, there was some places where God talks about visiting his people. Over in Jeremiah 25, I think it is, it talks about the negative consequences that sometimes God visits the consequences that people sin on them. But in there's also some positive places where he talks about, like in Genesis 50, verse 24, and he said to Joseph, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So a lot of times when God talks about visiting, he's either bringing consequences on people for their sin, or else he's bringing a blessing because of their obedience, right? Remember in the Old Testament, what did God say? If you do this, I will bless you, right? And then he said, if you do this, I will curse you. And remember, as we finished the book of Ephesians, what did we say? That was what the Old Testament said. Now the Bible says, God says, I have blessed you. Now do what's right. In the Old Testament, he says, I will bless you if you do right, and I will curse you if you do what's wrong. Luke 1:68 says, blessed is the Lord, God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. So it was the Lord who had stopped the famine and had given rain. It was not Baal that the Canaanites believed that he was the God that sent rain, but it was God who started the rain back and ended the famine, right? God blessed the people. And apparently, remember the settings in the book of Judges where it says that the people did what was right in their own eyes because there was no king, right? And if you remember anything about the book of Judges, they're disobedient. God judges them. They repent and cry out, and God delivers them. He brings all these judges, right? Gideon and Jephthah, and of course we know the most famous one, Samson, right? He brings all these judges, and of course there was Deborah too. But there were all these great judges that he brought to deliver the people out of their sin. He visited his people in Bethlehem, and they heard that there was a report there was bread enough to spare in the house of bread. And so they headed out. One man said it like this: how sad it is when people only hear about God's blessings but never experience it because they're not in the place where God can bless them. How sad it is when people only hear about God's blessing but never experience it because they're not in the place where God can bless them. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, we've asked you to bless all these things, but have we said, Lord, make us blessable? And what do we have to do to be blessable? We have to be following the will of God and doing what God wants us to do, right? And if Naomi had to confess at this time and say it, she would have had to say at this point, Lord, I'm not really blessable, because she really wasn't doing the will of God. She was just trying to get her stomach full, right? Whenever we've disobeyed the Lord and departed from his will, we must confess our sins and return to the place of blessing. When you look at Abraham, what did he do? He disobeyed God and he went down to Egypt, right? In the Bible, every time it says he went down, that means they went into sin. So he went down into Egypt, But he had to go back to that altar that he had abandoned. When Jacob sinned and went to sin, he had to go back to Bethel. You know, the repeated plea of the prophets and God, to God's people, was that they turn from their sins and return to the Lord. He said in Isaiah 55 verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So Naomi's decision was right to go back home, but guess what? Her motive is wrong. You know, she was still interested primarily, as I said, in food, not in fellowship with God. She's going back for food, not for fellowship, right? And you don't hear her confessing her sins. And some people will say that Naomi was a good example of a mother-in-law, and that she was, you know, doing all these wonderful things. But I'm of the opinion of some of the commentators that Naomi was out of the will of God, and she stayed out of the will of God until somewhere later in the book, you know, because we don't really hear her confessing her sins. So, "Oh Lord, we've done wrong. Now we'll go back to Bethlehem," right? And we see her as a believer, but she's backslidden. She acts like she's not a believer because she's not trusting in God. She's not believing in God. She's even going to get to the place where she says that the Lord has mistreated me by putting my sins on me, right? But she doesn't confess her sins. Look at verse 8 here. It says, verse 7. He says, "Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah." Notice the word "return" is there again. "And then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead, and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband.'" Let's stop right there. So the next thing happens is they leave and they're on their way to return. And it's a good little ways back there. And it's going to take probably about 10 days of travel to get back there. And so she says to her daughters-in-law, "Go return to your mother's house." So what does she do here? First of all, she gives bad advice. You know, if it was right for her to go back to Bethlehem, she should have brought them back with her. But you know what? She's thinking in human terms. She's not thinking that God can do all things. And, you know, I think there's a couple of reasons why she's doing this. We'll talk about that in just a minute or two. But what does she say? But what does she do here? She does not, I think she doesn't want her two daughter-in-laws to go back to Bethlehem with them. I say that because when she shows up in Bethlehem with two Moabite daughters-in-law, then that's going to prove to the rest of the town where she comes from that she's what? She sinned, right? That she's done wrong. And I think that's the evidence, and she's trying to hide the evidence. She's trying to be deceptive, and instead of bringing these girls who have married her sons back to Bethlehem and letting them get the benefit of God's blessing and possibly both of them trust in Christ. Apparently Ruth trusts Christ. We don't know exactly how that happened because we're not told any of the details, but it looks like to me that they were so far out of the will of God by leaving Bethlehem and going down to Moab and then staying there, and then the two sons marrying the Moabite daughters, that they weren't really telling much about the Lord. But maybe she was like Rahab and some of these other people that we don't know exactly how God did it, but God spoke to her and let her know that he was the God that she needed to trust. And so Naomi should have said to them what Moses said to his father-in-law, "Come with us and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel." Instead, Naomi tries to turn the two women back to their families and their false gods. She's sending them back to these false gods. And you know, we've talked about these false gods that they believed in. The main one was Chemosh. And Chemosh was a god that they sacrificed their children to. You know, that they would put the children through the fire and they would burn them and they would kill them by putting them in the fire. That's the kind of things they did. You know, that's horrible, isn't it? But that was the kind of god that they believed in, these Moabites did. And that was what she was sending these ladies back to. One of the things she does, she says, go return to your mother's house. And then she does say, the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me in the last part of verse 8. But what does she say? The Lord deal kindly with you. And she was talking about the word kindness here, is that word hesed. It speaks of God's covenant loyalty to his people. It involves a grace that wasn't deserved. It's the old Testament word for grace. She says that the Lord would deal kindly with you. And here she's kind of saying that, but she's talking about the Lord dealing kindly with him, and she's talking about Yahweh, that he's Jehovah. You know, we use the word Jehovah, and that's kind of the word that the Jews used to, they wouldn't say Yahweh. And Yahweh was the Old Testament word for God, the Almighty One, the great and powerful one, the self-existent one. Instead, they made up a word that was kind of a, I don't know if any of y'all remember what a tetragrammaton is. It's basically a word that you make out of two words. And so they made the word Jehovah up out of the word Yahweh. They took part of the, what do you call it, the consonants, the syllables. They took J and Y and W and H, and they made that into Jehovah instead of Yahweh. And so the Jews would not say the word Jehovah because they said it was too holy. What she's saying here is the Almighty God, the powerful and the self-existent one, go back and hopefully he will deal kindly with you. But she needs to send them to where she's going, where he can really deal kindly with her and save them and forgive them. She tells them to leave. And if we look at this section of scripture, what we'll see is three different times, what is she going to do? She's going to tell them to leave. Three different times she says to leave. You know, I think these women were the living proof that she had disobeyed God, and she was covering up her disobedience. And if she returned to Bethlehem alone, then nobody would know that they had broke the law of Moses. We're bad about that too, aren't we? All of us. We try to cover up and deceive, and you know, we put on our faces and make everybody think we're wonderful. As the guy said one time, he said, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't listen to me preach. But if I knew who you were, I wouldn't preach to you. You know, the ground is level at the cross, that every single one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs 28, verse 13, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes him will have mercy. So when we try to cover our sins, it's proof that we really haven't faced them honestly and judged them according to God's word. I was listening to a sermon a couple of days ago, but true repentance involves honest confession and a brokenness within. Psalm 51, verse 17, David said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So instead of brokenness, guess what Naomi has? She has bitterness. She's got bitterness. I think, you know, while they were over in Moab, that somehow or another when they lived there all those years, that God somehow providentially, he providentially closed these ladies' wombs so that there wouldn't be any half-Israelite children. You remember, that's what the Samaritans were, right? They were the half-breed Jews. And, you know, it wasn't that God doesn't like other races, remember? We talked about that, that it's a fact that, you know, the Bible tells us to come out and be separate and not be amongst those people. And God didn't want to marry these people because they had these false gods and these false religions, right? That was the reason he didn't want them to intermarry. And that's why he prescribed in the book of Leviticus and all these things that they could and couldn't do, right? When he gave the law in the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and he says, this is what you can eat and this is what you can't eat, because he was separating people by how they lived, why they ate, the way they dressed, and everything else. Just as today as Christians, we aren't to be different, right? The Bible says we're to be different. Here we see that instead of brokenness, Naomi's bitter. But she says, the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant, verse 9, that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. So what is she saying? She's saying, go home and get married, and there's security in getting married to these husbands, right? That's what she's saying. And think about this. You know, today, I mean, there is security in having a husband for a lady, but not like it used to be. In the old days, back in these days, there really wasn't a whole lot a lady could do, right? As far as working outside the house. And a woman was pretty helpless because of the way the society was and the way things were at that time. Not because women were incapable, it was just the way men treated women and continue to treat women. And the fact is back in this day, if a woman didn't have children and she didn't have a husband, she was in bad shape. She could literally starve to death. She wouldn't have any way to make a living. And I know even, you know, I like to read some of these Westerns, and even back in the 1800s and 1800s, that, you know, a lot of women, they were forced to do some horrible things because there was no other way they could make a living. There just wasn't a whole lot that a woman could do to survive. Here Naomi, she's got this overemphasis on husband and children and bread, and she's thinking of the physical versus the spiritual. So she's saying to go back and marry a Moabite. Go back and find a husband in Moab. And to find rest for an Old Testament woman was to get a husband. And then you would have a family and you would have security. So with no husband, they had no way to live, right? I have never thought about this. I was listening to a guy the other day on this passage, and he talks about Matthew 5:32. He says, but I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. How does he cause her to commit adultery? Because she needs to get married again to survive, right? To live. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. So basically what happens is the only way she could survive is if she has somebody to take care of in this culture. And so they would have to marry again just to survive. She says, the Lord grant you that you may find rest in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. And so we want to kind of stop there today, but we'll finish up this a little bit. But think about this. She is going to beg them. She's going to ask them to go back to that country, right? And you know what? We just don't know when we disobey God, what God wants to do in our life. Here's the thing, is we look at the book of Hebrews, and what does it say in chapter 11? It's the faith chapter, right? And it says, by faith, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, this person did this and this person did that. By faith. Do we see that here in Naomi? We see her sending back these two daughters-in-law. We see her being deceptive. We see her giving bad advice. Instead of bringing them to the place of blessing, we talked about that last week, that one man thought the place of Israel was so blessed that he wanted to take a wagon or a bucket full of dirt back to his country just so he could worship the God of Israel, right? He knew that the place of blessing was in Israel. Naomi's giving them bad advice, she says. She kissed them, and kind of when she kisses them, what is she doing? She's basically dismissing them, right? They lifted up their voices and wept, and of course we know, You know, as women, that women are more emotional than men a lot of times, you know. Us men, I think we've been told, you know, a man's tough, and we may be just as emotional, but we don't show it a lot of times, right? But these women, they lift up their voices and they weep, and they said to her, "Surely we will return to you and your people." I just read one more verse, and she says, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb?" So what does she do? She's basically coming in and saying, you know, there's no children for y'all. There's no way you're going to survive. There's nothing for you here, right? And what is she saying? She's saying basically that when you go back to the country of Israel, you know, the Bible says that God had said that no Moabites should enter into the sanctuary, the temple, up to the 10th generation. That's 10 generations. That's a long time, isn't it? And there's not much chance of a Moabite marrying an Israelite, because they would be breaking the covenant. But you know what? God's going to work through that. He's going to work in this whole situation. And then I'll just read a couple more. And I'll come back and talk about this next week a little bit more. And here's where she comes back and she says, "Turn back, my daughters," in verse 12. "Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they're grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." So here's Ruth, Naomi, three times she tells them to go back. She says, basically, my womb is empty. I'm too old to be married again. She's probably in her 50s. And she says, I'm not going to have any more children. But you know what? She says, if I did, by the time I have some children, guess what? Y'all are going to be my age, and y'all might be too old to have children at that time. I don't know if many women had children in their 50s. We know that Sarah did, because God did what? He blessed them, and he put that child in their womb. They were past the age of childbearing, but at the age of about 90, and Abraham about 100, they had a child, that promised child, right? But if we look at this testimony of Naomi, that she acts like an unbeliever. She's not believing in God. She's not trusting in God. She's trying to send these girls back because she wants them to go back, and so that they don't know that she's disobeyed. Plus, she says, there's nothing for you in Israel. But she should have been saying, come with me and be blessed to the Lord, right? That's what she should have been saying. And you know what? By the time we're through with this, we'll see that Ruth is a true believer, but Orpah goes back to her country, and we never hear of her again. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But what kind of lessons do we need to learn from Naomi? Number one, we need to do what this song says here. Remember that he will never, never leave me. And that's what our Bible says, Hebrews 13:5. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, right? The Bible says, that song says, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. But you know what the Bible says? It says, when we are faithless, that he is what? Still faithful. Just because we don't do what we're supposed to do, he's still faithful. He still loves us. He still will be with us and loves us and cares for us. And he won't leave us nor forsake us. Let's not be like Naomi and look at the physical and not the spiritual. You know, so many times we get focused, like I said, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. And we look at our situation and it says, oh, it's so bad and it's impossible. But God majors on the impossible, doesn't he? When things look impossible, that's when he does his best work. We don't want to be like Naomi. Don't trust God. Don't allow him to work in our lives and just get out of the will of God and not trust him. Because when we get out of the will of God, God's always right there, isn't he? I mean, remember, he's like, remember the prodigal son? That's really the story of the loving father. Because soon as the son starts coming, and the father sees him way off, and the father runs to him. I heard it said that God is just a step away. All you got to do is turn around, make that one step, return, repent, and God's right there. So let's remember, let's not be like a Naomi and not trust God and allow God to work in our lives, and let's not cover up our sins, and let's not focus on the physical instead of the spiritual. Well, let's pray and we'll close. Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. We pray that each and every person here today has trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they know that they know that they know if they died today that they would go to heaven because they have believed in the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that he died in our place, and that there's nothing we can do to earn it, to deserve it, to pay for it. But as the old song says, Jesus paid it all. The Bible says right before he died, it is finished. Our debt has been paid in full, our sin debt, and it's up to us. The Bible says whoever calls on his name shall be saved. Whoever believes in him shall not be put to shame. So Lord, I pray that some today, if there's one that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would repent of their sins and they would confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They would receive him today as their Lord of their life, and they would begin to live for him from now on. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you love us and you give us these stories in the Bible, these examples. You said that everything that's written is written as an example to us, that we might believe and trust in you and know not to do the wrong things, but to do the right things. So Father, help us to be obedient. Help us to be trusting. Help us not to be Moabites at heart, unbelievers at heart, but to trust you and believe in you no matter what the situation, how bad it gets, how bad it looks, but to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, despised the shame, and endured the cross, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father forevermore. Amen. Number 23, God will take care of you.
I'm the child without a home. I'm the widow left alone. So be love to me.
I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out and go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And he is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us.
or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.